Welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shawn Marie. Today we're going to talk about Brandon Lawson. He is recommended to me from a friend. Her name is Jackie. She recommended it after she heard the podcast. Blew her mind. And then she obviously told me about it. I looked into it. Blew my mind. So we're going to do his case today. I used YouTube and Google as my resources. I used the Trace Evidence podcast, episode 17 from 2008, and the Crawl Space podcast from 2019. And that's the one my friend listened to, and a newspaper article from Google from Go San Angelo. And then I listened to True Crime Garage, episode 310 from 2019. When they did an update to the episode that they already did about this previously. So on Thursday, August 8th, 2013, Brandon, who was barely 26 at the time, he briefly went to his home in San Angelo, Texas, after not coming home the night before. So he gets in an argument with his girlfriend. And what happened was, he had gotten a new job, so he had to do a drug test for the new job. He goes, does the drug test. When he passes the drug test, he calls his brother Kyle, and Kyle says that Brandon asked him, and Kyle's his younger brother. He says that Brandon calls him and says, "Hey, get me some dope." And Brandon's been clean for about 6 months at this point. And his little brother is like, "You probably shouldn't." And so he explains the situation. And he's like, "Okay, we'll call this dude Chris." He calls Chris. He goes up, meets up, obviously gets the dope at some point in time. So he's not a constant meth user. He is a like now and again. He can do it for a couple of days, take a couple months off, and then do it again. So he's not like always under the influence. And that's important to remember, that he has been clean for some time, for 6 long months. And 6 months is a long time to be clean off of anything. So when he goes home, to his high school sweetheart, love of his life. Been together 10 years. They have 3 kids together. He has 1 child from another woman, obviously. And so her name is Ladessa Lofton. And so when his brother first, I'm going to go from what Kyle says, most of this. And what Kyle says is that Brandon goes missing. No one knows where he is. He doesn't go home. He finds him in Fort Worth at a friend's house. Well, then he talks to Brandon. Brandon tells him, "I'm going home. She better not have touched any of my things. Go over there and find out." So Kyle goes over there. When he goes over there, she's cleaning. And it does say that she is mad. So I'm not sure if she is cleaning because she's pissed the fuck off, because that's what I do. And if you make me mad and then you see me cleaning, child, I've had a moment to think. I'm about to eat you. Anyway, so I'm not 100% sure, but everything was copacetic. So when he talks to his brother, he's like, "Dude, calm down. You're tripping. Everything's fine. You just like went on a dope adventure. You're coming down." He was freaking out kind of at this point in time, because he's like fighting with his old lady about shit that she doesn't know, from the gist of what I get. She's like, "Okay, whatever." And she, remind you, she is mad because he was clean for so long. So she is a little upset. And so when they meet in high school, it's her sophomore year, his junior year. There's a quote from her. She says, "We weren't a perfect couple. We grew up together. We were babies, but we were happy. We loved each other. which is, oh God. But she was, like I said, super irritated. I'm going to say irritated, not mad. Irritated about his relapse. So it's weird because then he goes and he gets in a fight with her, right? So he calls his dad, who lives 3 hours away. And he tells his dad, I'm going to go to your house in Crowley, Texas, which I'm get is like 3 hours away. Like I said, about 3 hours away. That call is about 11:30 p.m. And so right after he leaves to go, about 5 minutes after, she calls Kyle and she's like, your brother's fucking done left. He's mad as hell or whatever. And while he's like, I'll be there in a minute. While Kyle goes to the house, Brandon calls him and is like, I ran out of gas or something like that. Brandon has to go. I mean, Kyle has to go to the house, get the gas tank and go to Brandon and give him gas. She leaves her cell phone in the van to charge because Brandon took the only wall charger from the house. So, which is weird. Okay. And Brandon has OD'd before, Kyle said on the podcast that I listened to. And so when he uses like a big amount, it does different shit to him, different shit to his brain from what I understand than it normally does to other people, which is true. Like back in my pill days, there are some people that are just like dope lost. Like they're just, I don't know. They're stuck in the dope land. It's weird. I don't know. But instead of going to his dad's house, that's 3 hours drive. His brother lived 5 miles, like 5 minutes away. 5 miles, 5 minutes. So I don't know. And he didn't take the main highway either to his dad's house. He took like the back road, but I can't say that that's weird because I take the back. Well, I used to back in my hood rat days, I used to take the back roads, but that was mainly to smoke pot. So, I mean, maybe he's doing that. Who knows? But, like I said, okay, so she calls the brother 5 minutes after he leaves, whatever. She misses 3 calls from him that night. Okay. 3 calls. At 12:30, he calls Kyle and his old lady and tells Kyle that 3 effing Mexicans are chasing him out of town. The Mexicans in the neighborhood. The cops had pulled one over, but 2 got away, and that he was about to run out of gas and needed Kyle to bring him some. Okay. Kyle had to go back to Brandon's house, get the gas can, and go to him. Kyle had a problem with his paycheck, so he wouldn't have been able to pay for the gas. So he had to literally go get his brother, pick him up, take him, get the gas, take him back to the truck and drop him off. Okay. So his brother and him make conversations. They call each other multiple times. Okay. Back and forth because they're not full conversations. Brandon's calling him and saying a couple words and then the phone's hanging up. He's getting a couple gibberishes here and then he's getting hung up. He's getting mainly, where are you? And then when Kyle's like, I'm on my way, or whatever the case is, he hangs up. So it's really hard to find out exactly where he is and what the fuck is actually going on. His brother's really going on WTF at the moment. So, like I said, most of the calls that he was making to his brother are, where are you at? He calls a neighbor too. I'll give you guys like a rundown of the call log that he makes. So when he says, when he sees his truck, okay, Kyle sees his truck. Brother calls. He answers the phone, obviously. And Brandon tells him, I can see you. He cannot see him, okay? Kyle's like, okay, I can't see you. But there's a cop coming up the road. And Brandon says to Kyle one time, which I guess means run from the cops, or the cops are coming, so like you need to get the fuck out of there. And Kyle says, no, I've done nothing wrong. And Brandon kind of gets irritated and says, where's your pride, motherfucker? And hangs up. His brother normally doesn't talk to him and use that serious of a tone. So he, till this day, he's like, from what I understand, he's not 100% sure exactly what that means, except for, why are you questioning me? Like, you should have gotten out of there. But his brother doesn't know what the most important part that I'm going to tell you about. His brother has no idea. So if his brother would have known this previously, he would have acted differently. So when the cop pulls up, the cop's like, hey, do you know who this vehicle belongs to or whatever? And he's like, yeah, it's my brother's. Like, he's walking around here. He has shitty-ass reception. Can't really find him. I'm just going to give him his gas, and he'll be out of here in a jiff, not a problem. So he pulls up the road a little bit. But before I tell you what he does, when he pulls up the road a little bit, I'm going to play you something. I'm going to play you a couple times. But here's the first time we're going to play it. Here is what he's doing in between calling his brother and his neighbor. He makes one call to 911. So here that is.
9/2/13, 0:50 and 38 seconds.
No emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. Escape, we just searching guys over. Crosshair going towards Javelin on both sides. Crosshair ran out of gas. There's one car here.
You gotta take the bitch to the woods. Pretty burned. Okay, now, run
that right away. And when I talked to him, I saw you ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him, okay.
I just shot the first guy.
You need an ambulance?
Yes, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt?
Okay, so that's the first 911. That's the first time I'll play it for you. I'm going to play it for you guys again. Probably three times. Because you guys have to get like your own gist of what you think he's saying. But when I was on the True Crime Garage. True Crime Garage. Their website. And I was reading like their fan comments and stuff. I found one that I really agreed with. So this person's part of what they think he says is what I think he says, because it's kind of what his brother assumes that he says too. So at 12:50, he had called 911. Okay. And he says, it goes, 911, what's your emergency? Yes, I'm in the middle of a field. A state trooper just pushed some guys over. Here, going towards Abilene on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. The guy's chasing me through the woods. Please hurry. 911. Now run that by me again. Brandon. There's one guy talking to him. I accidentally ran into him. 911. Oh, you ran into him. Okay. Brandon. They shot the first guy. I'm not talking to y'all. 911. Do you need an ambulance? Someone. They don't know if it's Brandon or not. They hear a yeah. And then Brandon goes, no, I need the cops. 911 goes, is anybody hurt? And then you hear what could be possible gunshots. And then 911 goes, hello? 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 Okay. So now that I've read that to you, I will play it for you one more time. So listen.
2:00
0:50 and 38 seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. Escape, we're just pushing guys over. Crosshair ran out of gas. There's one car here. You gotta take the bitch to the woods. Please
hurry. Okay, now run that right.
And when I talk to him, I sure ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
I just shot the first guy.
You need an ambulance?
Yes. No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt?
Okay. So that's weird as fuck, right? Okay, so according to Kyle, him calling the police is like myself calling the police. And that shit don't happen, y'all. Side story, just like a little like, haha, let's take a break for a smack. Y'all, I had to call dispatch the other day on myself to get my VINs verified for my vehicle that I recently purchased. I literally, guys, never in my life have ever reported anything or called the cops or, like, nothing. Not my style. Not my job. I don't do it. I'm not good under, I put myself under so much pressure that I would have told that bitch anything. Like, I'm not even lying. Like, I even gave her, like, the correct way to spell my name and everything. Like, I was terrified. Ugh. Back to this, though. God, that was terrifying. Okay, so here's a breakdown of his timeline that day. So, at 11:53 p.m., he leaves his home in San Angelo, Texas, headed towards his dad's home in Crowley, Texas, which is about a three-hour drive. 12 a.m., Ledesa calls his cell phone and asks him to return home or go to his brother's house. 12:34 and 12:36... she misses two calls from him. At 12:38, Brandon calls Kyle and tells him that his truck ran out of gas. 12:40, Kyle calls Ledesa and tells her that Brandon's out of gas. 12:48, Ledesa's missed another call from him. At the 12:50 is when he makes a 911 call. 12:51, Kyle's calling him and he has to leave a voicemail. 12:54, Brandon calls his old lady one more time with no answer. 12:57, Brandon calls his neighbor. 12:58, Brandon's neighbor tries to call him back three times. Oh my God. At 12:58, a passing motorist calls 911 to report his vehicle on the highway. At 104 at 911, the dispatcher calls Brandon back because she's trying to get more information from him. At 109, Brandon calls Kyle three more times. So Brandon's still calling him. At 110, Brandon and an officer arrive at the scene. Okay. At 1:12, Kyle calls Brandon three times but doesn't answer. At 1:15, Brandon calls Kyle twice, but the calls don't go through. At 1:18, Kyle's girlfriend, Aubrey, or wife, I'm not 100%, I really didn't, well, not 100% on that. She texts Brandon and tells him that the police are still at his truck. At 1:19, she receives a phone call from him. He states that he is 10 miles up the road and bleeding. The phone pings that he's walking north from the vehicle. At 1:19, Aubrey and Kyle drive back towards San Angelo out of the sight from the officer. They wait about 45 minutes for Brandon to return. His old lady misses multiple calls from him. At 2 o'clock, his brother goes home. Okay, this we don't need to go over because I'm going to go over it with you anyway. Okay, so when the cop goes there at 1, that's the cop that Brandon is like, where's your pride, motherfucker? Because at 1 o'clock, there's a trucker who calls in and reports a Ford F-150 on Highway 277. And it's over the white line a little bit obstructing traffic. So his car's been in. The reason why everybody's kind of being protective of Brandon and he didn't say, like, my brother says he sees me, he's over in a field somewhere or anything, or tells the cop that anything weird's going on, is because Brandon is wanted. He has a warrant out for his arrest out of Johnson County for a felony possession with intent to deliver. So that's why Kyle never says he's hiding, like I said. Brandon has Kyle says that his brother is a soldier. He knows how to fight. He knows how to defend himself. He's been to prison 3 times previously. And so at that time, when Brandon says that to him or the cop pull up, neither one, Brandon nor the Kyle or the cop, know that Brandon has called 911. He is there because of the trucker. So when the cop gets there, the doors are unlocked. He puts the hazards on, calls for the thing to get towed, locks the doors. And so he, like I said, his brother pulls up the road a little bit, and he's kind of like, okay, when that cop pulls away, my brother's going to pop up out of the thing and it's going to be no problem. Well, Kyle took his old lady and his 4-year-old kid with him at the time. And so his kid starts getting hungry and crying and, you know, being kids, ruining all sorts of fun and ruining the stakeout. So he goes and leaves the gas can in the back of his truck. Okay. And he yells it out. He's like, hey, bro, you know, gas tank's here, whatever. So he's hoping that his brother is going to get in when the cop goes away, go to get the gas or whatever. Well, the next morning, when midnight or whatever, the next morning, whatever Kyle's problem was with his paycheck has been worked out. So he goes and gets some gas and goes back to the truck about 5 o'clock in the morning. And Kyle says that he was out there hollering his brother's name and his brother just never came out. His truck was towed back to town a little bit after 8 a.m., which is weird that. And Kyle even says that he wished he would have looked about how much gas was in that truck when his wife got it back. Like, it's weird. I wonder how much gas was in that truck, knowing that he ran out of gas. I wonder. I don't know. It's shifty. So he goes missing, okay? His truck was never looked at, gone through by the officials. On August 9th, 2013, is when they towed it. On August 11th, one of the officers were going to do, I'll tell you what they did, like exactly what Texas Rangers. They're not officers. They're Texas Rangers. What he said they did. There you go. So his brother says that he put together kind of like a small little search that they did for about 4 hours or so. Well, from 8 to noon. There are no signs of anyone in the area except for a spot underneath a tree where it appears someone sat down close to the roadway within eyesight of where his truck broke down. So this is what I had to call my brother-in-law for. So I guess they say that it's weird and it's shifty, but since he was starting a new job on Monday, and I'm assuming this started Friday, we're on like Saturday or Sunday. But when he was changing his jobs, he cleared out his 401k with the Rigid Edge, I guess, oil services, I'm not sure, in Texas. He cleared out his 401k right before he went missing. And this is not shady or not out of the ordinary for people in the oil industry to do. My brother-in-law did this when he moved from, I think it was Utah to Texas. I don't know. They've been to a lot of places. So, I don't know. So, Kyle says, my brother might have been a felon and might have messed with drugs. He might have relapsed. But my brother worked hard for what he had. He loved his children. He took care of his children. He is a good person. He wasn't some dope fiend living off the streets, robbing or trying to get something over on somebody to get the next high. A Texas Ranger did send an email to the newspaper, saying that they did make efforts to try to locate him, with a physical search done on 4 occasions in August, one in September, and one in October, and then one in January of 2014, February of 2014, and in July of 2014. And he says that these searches were done with including DPS helicopters, ATV, six cadaver dogs, four different agencies at one time going through. The cops, it was weird because like his brother said that the cop told him when they were there at the road and he was like, hey, do you mind if I drive around and look for my brother a little bit? The cop's like, yeah, but don't go that way I just came from, because like I just came from there, so you don't need to go that way. And the podcast that I was listening to, I believe like Crawl Space podcast, when his brother talks on there, because everybody throws shade at him and they're like, well, his brother never helped look for him. No one's helped look for this guy. His name's just gone and he's just vanished and disappeared, because that's what happens. He's just, after that phone call to his brother, he's never heard from again. Ever, ever, ever heard from again. Nothing is ever found. No keys, no credit cards, no shoes, no, absolutely nothing. And the cop, his wife, I guess, is also one of the cops. His wife is like the newspaper lady, and the news made it seem like he just ran away because he was wanted. And so like there's nothing shady going on. Dude just disappeared because he was wanted. And his family was like, dude, he's not afraid of going to fucking prison. Like, that's not a fear. So like doing some time is not worth him disappearing for. And to not touch the 401k that you come, like that you took out, that was so shady. You just go missing, like you don't use it. No one, like the cops don't think that suspicious. Like, I'm just weirded out how much the cops, like, it appears to me, my opinion, they really don't give a fuck. To them, they're just like, it's another felon doing some hoodlum shit. Just another fucking crackhead, which is sad, because that's not what they need answers. His old lady has put together herself, funded searches, private investigators. Like, she had to go and look for him because the cops weren't doing anything. And that says something. This is this woman's love. It's her person. Like, it's her fucking lobster. Like, they are just two kindred spirits, man. So she knows. Like, she needs to find him. So she pays to find him. Like, to try to find him. And cops are, and some, they, the newspapers and like the clips and stuff I've seen, everybody blames, like, well, some of the farmland out there, some of the owners are like, you guys don't need to come on my property. Like, if I find him, I find him, I'll let y'all know. But the cops don't let his brother search for him. Like, they straight tell him, like, if you come out here and do that, you'll go to jail. So it's fucking, why would the cops hide it? Why would the cops hide it? So I'm asking Jackie, I'm like, it. I've now dived into the black hole with no answers. And now my heart is breaking for his children. His wife of 10 amazing, obviously hardship, got fought through years together. And his brother, who gets like the weirdest last words you could ever get. So I messaged Jackie and I'm like, hey, what the fuck do you think happened? And she and I, we are on the same page. I believe either cops killed him, because for someone who does not call the police and has that and has a criminal background and likes to do hood rat shit and hood rat things, you don't call the police. Like, that's not, you don't call 911 for fun. So yes, he is under the influence. No one is saying that he was not, because it's like he legitimately was he was cracked the fuck back. And his brother had to ask him multiple times, like, dude, are you tripping? Like, you are just need to chill the fuck out. Calm down. You're tripping. So he's heard that multiple times. So, and you can go in and out of like losing your shit and regaining your shit. At least I have. Like, I've never done like legit, like actual meth, but like I used to have an Adderall problem. And that's like as close to being a fucking crackhead as you can be without being a crackhead. I've never went on any like crazy ass adventures like this. and gone missing or nothing. But, like, either the police had something to do with him coming up missing, or sadly, he just meandered off and succumbed to some elements, and he just has not been found yet. And I honestly think if the cops were to truly, they say his, from what I understand, the family says that the cops don't look for him. The cops are like, yeah, we have. But I don't think so. Like, I don't. Like, before you find out what his brother says in the podcast, my opinion that I've listened to, it kind of seems like the cops were like, okay, yeah, we care. Well, we care, but we don't care. And then his brother's like, oh, no, they didn't give two fucks. So I go off of what the family experienced. So the brother says they don't give two fucks. To them, they're just like, he's a wanted fugitive, dude. He's not missing. He's gone. And I guess that is one of the speculate, because I guess there's a bunch of, like, what happened to him guesses and theories. And I guess one of them is that he really did, his family is a part of it. And, like, he just walked off. But that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. A man that's been to prison 3 times ain't that scared of going back to prison enough to go into hiding when he was starting a better job the Monday with better pay, better benefits, and he was working before to provide for his family, that he would just all of a sudden be like, oh, I used meth, now I'm scared, I'm going to run away. And that high never wore the fuck off. He never ate a sandwich and took a nap and realized that he was tripping. I highly doubt that shit. So, not my guess. But at the time that Brandon went missing, he was 5'9". He weighed approximately 230 pounds. He has multiple tattoos. I'll post his picture, obviously. He has a scar on his chin and his left knee. He has one ear pierced at the time of his missingness. He was wearing a yellow shirt, green camouflage shorts, and white 2013 Air Max sneakers. Do y'all know how expensive those fucking shoes are? Expensive. Anyway. Like I said, the reason why Kyle now is, like, trying to find his brother and trying to, like, get the word out there is because he has now recently been released from prison himself. So he did not just go and forget about him. It's probably been haunting his brother from the day one, you know? But he couldn't do anything, but now he can. And his old lady, obviously, I can't even imagine. Y'all, I can't. Like, I had a high school sweetheart and all that fun stuff. And if anything would have happened to him back in those times, oh my God, I would have been devastated. And he's the type of dude that does, like, even as an adult, this story really hit home because of that. Because my high school sweetheart, not anymore because I'm married to my lovely goof, but he used to do stupid shit like this all the time. And I have another friend that used to do stupid shit like this all the time, and he would, like, end up in a different state. And, like, man, meth is such an animal. It is such an animal. Like, it changes you so much that, like, I don't know. I like to remind my brother of shit he used to do gacked out to remind him that he was an ass. I don't need to because he's full aware of it. But, like, same with my friends. Like, you turn into such a different person. And it's just so weird. It's such a black hole, and just, you don't have any answers. And, like, these PIs and everybody else, and, like, cold cases and all that type of shit, everybody that's looking into it, there's nowhere to go. There's, like, unless you find him somewhere out in the fields, and I guess there's, like, wild hogs and shit. So, like, if you find him, any part of him, the family could have closure and be like, okay, that is what happened to him. He sadly did succumb. But if those really are gunshots in the audio, like they say it is, and he was injured and something happened to him, you would just think from 2013 to 2020 that, and this man had everything. He had his phone. His phone had a phone case on it. He had his wallet. His wallet had multiple cards in it, different things in it. He had his earring, his keys with multiple keys. You know what I mean? And nothing, not a sock, not an elastic boxer band. Nothing of this man has ever been found or seen. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but I guarantee you he didn't go off and start a new life somewhere. I mean, and the last thing his brother knew is his brother could see him. He could not see him. So he was obviously there. And he wasn't, like, paranoid and, like, just being like, oh, I see you. Like, he was describing the situation. So his brother is 100% sure he was looking at him because he saw the cop coming. He told him to run from the cop, which now even fucking mind fucks his family even more, because you call the cops and then you tell your brother to run from the cops. Like, what is going on? And you're hiding. I just, dude, it's a real mind fuck. I really can't tell you. I mean, I'm really sorry for the Lawson family, because that's just horrible to never have closure on what happened. And for people just to say that he's just some drug user and that's the end of it, and he was a felon and he was wanted and no one should. He ran away. Like, just because he is a felon doesn't mean anything. Nothing. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a brother. He's a son. Like, those are what's important, not his background. And hopefully, one day, hopefully, some part of him will be able to be taken back to his family in some way, shape, or form. And they get closure. So, I don't know. Look into it, like I said, if you guys want to. That's just like my lowdown on it. I will obviously post everything and my resources and all that. But you guys can let me know what you guys think about it. So you guys can follow me on Facebook at It Is What It Is, a True Crime Podcast, or on YouTube. If you go to my YouTube page, which I recommend just going there to It Is What It Is, a True Crime Podcast, I have links on my YouTube page to everywhere else. But you can go on Twitter at It Is What It Is 208, because that's where I'm from. You can go on Instagram at It Is What It Is Pod 19. That's all together. No spaces, no nothing, all together. Or you guys can email me at It Is What It Is Pod 19 at gmail.com. And I will take your suggestions. I love these suggestions. It's really easy when someone just tells you what they want you, someone that they want you to talk about. It's 10 times easier. So we want to thank Jackie. Well, not we. I'm new to this. I want to thank Jackie for recommending this and helping me go along on this journey. So I love you, bitch. And hopefully I did it justice. So you guys have a good night.